Yeah, and I think, I mean, that is true. At the same time, you're looking at a society that's incredibly militarized. I remember reading, to this degree, I remember reading a headline from, I think it was the New Jersey News Ledger, but I'm not certain. But in any case, this was the year 2002, and the Israelis at that point would fly the same number of military sorties in the Middle East as the U.S. Now, we are a military superpower because of our air power. So this is an extraordinary statement of the power of this country. They attack, they carry out assassinations using F-16s. I mean, other people use guns. They use an airplane. They use a fighter pilot in an airplane to kill one guy. I mean, this is craziness. Yeah. This is serious crazy.
Well, it's even crazier when you find out that it's the American taxpayer paying for that jet plane and the training of the pilot and the fuel going into it through subsidies. And the fact is the entire assault and murder of these other people in other countries is being financed fully by the United States.
Fully and more so than ever, because I think it was, I'm not sure, but recently in the last year, the Israelis were given a kick-up of another $30 billion to be spent on armaments over the next 5 or 6 years. So there's another huge influx of weapons going into that society.
Well, you know, this recent round of banking bailouts, when the rest of the world's stock markets were falling, the only single stock market in the world that went up was the Israeli stock market, because most of the money being stolen out of these bailouts was being funneled back into Israel's banks. But I want to talk a little bit about something else here. You know, this whole thing with the Israelis being behind the American government. Now, this is an important element because recently they used in the press the fact that America would not issue automatic entry visas to the Israelis. Now, everybody thought that they used that as a propaganda piece to prove that America has no special relationship with these rabid criminals. The simple fact of the matter is that the Israelis demanded that America put a visa on their entry because so many Israelis want to get out, and they don't want their population to leave. So they started putting restrictions on their movement into the United States so their population would not leave. And nobody seemed to pick up on this, and I thought it's an important thing, because there are a lot of Israelis who are not the monsters I described earlier. But they don't want to be part of this, and they want to get out, and they want to move. I've had emails from them. I've spoken to them on the phone. There are intellectuals talking about the fact that this is a morally bankrupt nation, but yet you don't hear about any of that.
Right. Well, you do hear some. If you read certain press, if you read very, you know, specific press, you hear about this. But no, you're not going to hear about that in the Washington Post or the New York Times at all. Of course not. Because they're going to continue to promote this fiction of the country they call Israel. So,
well, you know, I have done my homework on what they've got planned for the rest of that region, and there's good evidence to prove that the Mossad has been on the ground in Iraq, killing American soldiers and servicemen on behalf of their own planning. In other words, they've got a plan that if they can keep America engaged in a pseudo war, there was interesting assassination videos that made it onto the internet that could have only come from these video controlled Israeli sniper guns. They're the only people in the world that owned them, and they were of clear videos being shown on the internet that had come from Israelis doing shootings of American servicemen. The fact is that they need they need to make it look like the Islamic community of the Middle East and the Arab community and just the people in general are fighting the Americans. They need to fabricate a resistance against America to make it look like this terrorism is real.
Exactly. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, I have seen these stories, and they're very believable. And then there's just the common sense of point of view. I mean, we have heard about terrorism for 7 years. We have not had one attack in this country. I mean, this country's borders are porous. Mexicans can come in here by the hundreds of thousands. There's no keeping out a so-called terrorist. Of course it's fabricated. Of course it's exaggerated to the point of absurdity. These are societies that have just been beaten down. I mean, the people live on the absolute margins of existence. I mean, that's true in Iraq now, and it's certainly true in Palestine, where people live on $2 a day.
Yeah.
These are not societies that can build great, you know, any kind of military forces or any even underground. They just haven't got the means.
Well, you know, they're interesting. I was listening to a show, Jennifer, I was listening to a program on CII just before mine, and Intellectual Challenge. They had a guest on that was talking about Alex Jones and Aaron Russo. Now, I want to clear up something here because I think this is important. Aaron Russo is Jewish, and the fact of the matter is he was talking about the New World Order being a British conspiracy as well as a conspiracy of David Rockefeller as its principal,
right,
where when you look behind and at a level deeper than them, it's always the Jewish bankers and Jewish conglomerate owners, the big businessmen, billionaires from the Jewish community running things. And so, of course, many people out there are deceiving the world about what's really happening. You want to speak about the deception being used?
Well, there are ways of looking at this. Also, they're obvious. I mean, it's, you know, people will talk about this is just another wave of white colonialism. I mean, look at the country of Britain. It's broke. They're not gaining anything by this. They're supporting it, but they're not gaining anything. The Iraqi oil is being pumped into Israel.
That's right. It's going in. It's going actually in out in Haifa Harbor.
Into Haifa Harbor, and it's being, of course, yes, it's being guarded by American military. But what are we getting out of it? Nothing. I mean, not that we would ever have a right to do that, but that's worn out, very foolish argument that it's, you know, oil, that's another one, the oil people are doing this. Actually, if you go back into the politics of Washington, D.C., it is not the oil companies that push for these wars, because they'd rather just pump the oil. They can make their money on speculation on Wall Street. it was the Israeli lobby.
That's right.
Pushed for all of it. The wars on Iraq goes back to JINSA, PNAC, AIPAC, the same group of people, and they're being brought in evidently to this administration as well. Barack Obama's first act was to choose Mr. Rahm Emanuel.
Well, Rahm Emanuel's father, this is interesting because you can give us a little update on what this group is about. Rahm Emanuel's father was a principal in the Irgun. You want to tell the listener a little bit about what you know about the Irgun and what they did in the lead up to statehood for Israel?
I believe it was the Irgun that targeted the King David.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, they blew up the hotel. They dressed as Arabs.
They dressed as Arabs. Now, does that, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience, the Israelis went into the King David Hotel and blew it up, but they got caught on their way out, killing tens of dozens of people, murdered them wholesale. British and foreign press people were all murdered. They dressed as Arabs. Does that sound familiar to you all? I mean, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's sick, and I try every week to bring these facts out to these people, Jennifer, to everybody, to the 152 mm-hmm. countries listens to me. And
wow.
Yet, you know, what I'm often preaching to a choir here. Most of the people that are listening to us right now know the full story. One of my challenges is having to get into new audiences and new people. And this is the big challenge that I face. And I think, you know, the story of the Palestinians should really get the South African audience up in arms, because they know victimization of apartheid and they know victimization of being subclassed in their own society. And so I'm wondering how much outrage we need to show here before people will take action.
I don't know. I don't know. I have to be honest. I still don't see it here. I'm in the States. People are in a state of hysteria about Barack Obama. He is the new savior. And you look at this guy, I mean, he got $19 million from Wall Street. He is
appointed a big chief over at Goldman Sachs for Secretary of Treasury. He's picked Rahm Emanuel. He is bringing back Dennis Ross from the Clinton administration, and Dennis Ross was a guy that was pretending to negotiate for years, while, of course, the Israelis, giving the Israelis time, actually, to just keep stealing land, confiscating land, blowing up homes, uprooting olive trees, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't know why anybody realistically thinks this guy is going to be any different. And it may be worse.
He's an Uncle Tom. His name is Uncle Tom Obama.
Yeah, yeah, it's sad. I'm afraid so. And I think they're going to use him because he is black. He's certainly not African American. He doesn't represent the community. And he's not really Muslim because he's not bringing in any Muslims into his administration. So,
no, he's actually using that as a cover. In fact, I wonder sometimes if they didn't invent this guy in a Tavistock environment and fabricate his birth certificate and put this guy out there as the right guy to lead the sheeple to slaughter.
Exactly, because who else except someone who's supposedly a Muslim to go off and kill off more Muslims?
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the relationship with Jordan, because what I know about the Jordanian government and the King Abdullah, his father, King Hussein, was that his father was a Freemason working very closely with the Israeli Jews and in fact world Jewry, and now his son is also working through the Freemasonry movement of world Jewry. To destroy the Palestinian community within Jordan. Those people are under more structure and more control than even some people that live in Israel in some cases.
Well, exactly. It's the story of the Palestinians. Everybody ejects them. There's no place they can go. There's a huge population in Jordan. King Hussein was actually, I think, the first ruler to quote-unquote recognize Israel. I mean, he was in
Jordan
way back at the beginning, in the 50s. And his son is, I think he's a thug, I think. He's nasty. But he's got the window dressing, the pretty Palestinian wife. Again, you know, it's the facade. It's the smoke screen. And then behind it, just erasure of these people. It's bizarre. It's totally bizarre because they don't have any real full citizenship rights anywhere. But there's, you know, and the truth is that Jordan is a manufactured country. It has a, their economy is a fraction of that. I think it's $6 billion a year compared to Israel, which is $129 billion or so. So, I mean, they can't absorb all these people, actually, but they did and they had to. But then there's been this tension, of course, because of the force, the driving of Palestinians from place to place.
Well, there's an estimated $20 billion of minerals in the Black Sea, which Jordan should have half the rights to, which are entirely going to be in the Israeli hands shortly.
The Black Sea or the Red Sea? The Red Sea. The Dead
Sea. No, the Dead Sea, I mean.
Right, yeah. Yo, that's very mineral-rich, the Negev and the Dead Sea. And that was why, going back into history, Chaim Weizmann was very adamant with Truman, because that was not part of the original Israel. He was very adamant about getting that little chunk of land. And they're cleansing that, too. They're driving the Bedouin out of the Negev. They won't give them any money, don't provide any electricity to their villages, and then they spray their crops with carcinogenics. It's just same stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't change. You know what I've been discovering lately as well, that under the guise and under the fraudulent veil of Islamic investment, Abu Dhabi and Dubai and these Bahrain and these countries of this little United Arab Emirates region are actually large chunks of Jewish money being pumped in there. In fact, trillions of dollars have flooded into that region through the Jewish banks and through front companies and shell companies to build Dubai up with these sheikhs, because these sheikhs are not Muslims in their actions. They are only as window dressing. And what we see is a greater Israel and a regional of a regional power Israel spreading out its political control throughout that region. And they already control Jordan. Their control over Saudi Arabia goes back decades, from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Actually, it goes back to the beginnings of Saudi Arabia when the British founded it. as the British helped them found the Iraqi fraudulent borders and the rest of it. So I see bad times ahead here, because as the world takes its eye off the Middle East to pay attention to its own serious problems, that's when I expect a full implosion of all of local people's populations. I see Palestine being decimated. I see southern Lebanon being destroyed. I see parts of Syria going down in flames. And I don't see anybody standing up to stop it.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're right. As a matter of fact, I've thought about this in the last couple of days. If you look at the map and the moves in the last, recently, I mean, there's Assyria, there's the attack on Lebanon, now the attack on Syria. They're turning the flame up underneath the Afghan situation. And all of this, of course, surrounds Iran. And then there's a little detail that always struck me, and I may or may not be right about this, but I know in the Rafah, which is the southernmost city of Gaza, the Israelis just destroyed hundreds and hundreds of houses. I mean, they do this anywhere. Anyway, but it's just in a very concentrated area. And my thought on that, this is to enable the tanks. When the tanks go rolling through and they want to go to the Gaza, they want the Suez too. Because once they get the Iraq oil, and if they can destroy Iran, and they can control the Suez, well, there you go.
Yeah, and that's been in the Israeli Knesset. There's a picture of Greater Israel that goes all the way to the Nile, and it goes north all the way to the Tigris. So they believe that's in the planning stages to take that entire region. The people that are starting to understand this in my circles, I don't think are working hard enough to get this information into more hands. I personally can't do it myself, Jennifer. You've been listening to the French Connection for a long time. What is it you think I could do to make this a larger, I don't know, how can I get this message larger? I've been banned in China, I've been banned in Vietnam, I've been banned in almost every library in North America, I'm being banned in Germany, I'm getting banned everywhere. My website is being shrunk.
Wow. I don't know. I honestly don't. And I don't know what else I can do, because you can't reach people. It's a complicated story, so you have to take time to be able to tell people and lead them down through the history. And I know some people are beginning to know that, even from here, that these think tanks in D.C., like PNAC, Project for a New American Century, and AIPAC, and GENSA, the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, all advisors to the president, and the cabinet has been stocked with these people for decades. Their statements are very clear. I mean, the clean break strategy was, we're not going to negotiate. We're going to start wars. We're going to provoke them. We're going to target Iraq, Iran, Syria. They're going to go into Lebanon, and this was from years ago, and use the Christians to split it up. I mean, these are their policy statements. This comes out of the Israeli government.
Well, and the other thing is to use this, the dumbed-down Christians to fight Islam in a fraudulent battle, because basically it's all based on lies. And when you take a look at 9/11 alone, you know that the entire event was an Israeli-run operation. And I'm sure that the military, Israeli military, Shin Bet, and others, including Mossad and elements within our government, the United States government, were all part of this conspiracy. We see this stuff happening, and now I believe we are seeing a movement into the next phase, and this next phase is going to be even more devastating because we're less resilient as we move into the next phase. Our economies are fragile, our societies are becoming fragile and fractional and fractured, and I believe a police state structure has been implemented, and I think the world needs to wake up. Jennifer, do you have a take on any of that?
I'm afraid you're right. I mean, seeing it here, I mean, bit by bit, you hear a lot about the FEMA camps. You certainly have to recognize that on paper, this country already is a police state, according to the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't. Criticizing Israel is against the law. There is such a thing passed, a bill passed in Congress, global anti-Semitism law. It is against the law to criticize the country of Israel.
It's not against the law for me to do it. I mean, it is here in France. I could be jailed, but you know what? I don't care. I mean, look, I'm a human being who says, the heck with it. I got to take the risk. I got to take the chance. I got to stand up. And I often wonder why I feel that way, and I feel so few others do. But I'm starting to understand that people are really unaware in many instances how to do something. And because I think they've been poisoned, Jennifer. You take a look at what's happening with our food supply. We're not desperately different than what's happening in Gaza. We're being poisoned as well. We got fluoride in our water. We got poison in our food. We've got sickness in our medicines. We're walking around on death's door here.
Well, we're certainly less vital people. I mean, you know, the junk food and the junk media and the junk everything. That's certainly part of the dumbing down process. And there's another, but even with people who are intelligent and understand it, and this includes me, I don't know how to tackle this. I don't know what else to do except put out the information. And it does seem as though nobody has a game plan. I know there's a movement to bring down the Fed. There's an anti-Federal Reserve movement, and that's fine. But I don't know how far it goes. I wonder if any of this really takes place anywhere except for the Internet. And if it isn't just conversation.
Well, to get rid of the Fed and what they're going to do, and that, I think that's part of their plan, is the Fed to die, and they'll replace it with an international banking structure, and the Fed will become a history, and what we will get is an international bailout bank that says the Americans are bankrupt, and internationally we're coming in to support them with the IMF money, which is also run by a man named Dominique Strauss-Kahn out of France, who's a Zionist Jew, and not only is he a Zionist Jew, he's a corrupt one, caught stealing insurance money for students over here, and actually found guilty, and now he's the head of the IMF. He stole hundreds of thousands of euros for his own parties and everything else, and it's just sick. I mean, it's a kleptocracy worldwide being perpetrated by Zionist Jews everywhere, and then I have to listen to radio shows where everybody's afraid to say Zionist Jew. And I'm not talking about the entire Jewish community, Jennifer. I'm talking about a specific group within the Jewish community that is sick beyond anything anybody can really describe.
Well,
what do you think?
The answer is that it just has to collapse. I don't know. I mean, I guess that maybe people will begin to, when they get hit themselves, maybe they'll just collapse with it, or maybe they'll begin to fight back.
Well, but I mean, even in my South African listening audience, many of the broadcasters that know the truth about Zionism are afraid to say it, because what ends up happening is they get assaulted by the media controllers in South Africa. I've been threatened with being removed from the air, and there's been a lot of letters sent to the radio station about them going to take legal action against me and all this other stuff. So far, the radio station has been able to keep me on the air, but many of the other broadcasters on these different different networks are afraid. They're afraid to say this because they're afraid to go to jail or to become targeted. And I mean, if people continue to be fearful, we're all going to get victimized here. We're all going to become victims. And the fact is, the heck with being afraid. Just take the action, because to do nothing is to die.
It's to ensure. Yeah, you can't run away from it. So
no.
Take it on. And, I mean, the thing is, I was listening to, it was a talk given by somebody. It was in a little, it was on the internet, but it was in a library in Canada. And this guy was just very mild stuff. I mean, things people should know, but the real history of Israel and blah blah blah, and what's going on in the AIPAC and the influence in Washington. And there were, he was getting, the audience was really applauding him. And then a couple of people got up and, you know, really went after him, calling him an anti-Semite and, you know, the usual charges, and very nasty. But the audience wasn't buying it. They knew. They knew the guy was telling the truth. And he was scared to death. You know, it's,
yeah, but when the others were attacking him, how many people in that audience who believed him stood up and said, yeah, well, we're going to attack you back? Nobody. Because people are basically cowards. In my view.
I'd say that's true. The only people that spoke were the people attacking him. And then one person pretending to say, oh, I can be a Zionist and support the Palestinians, too. That's ridiculous. But, yeah, that's true. People just, they're not going to do it. They're not going to get out of their little shell. And it's not going to stop. I mean, if it's not stopped, it will continue. It's that simple. I mean, the violence will spread. After they get rid of the Palestinians and Lebanese.
Well, let's give your website out one more time, and then the name of your book, and how people can, you know, can get your information from you. Why don't you give it one more time before the close of the show here, Jennifer?
Okay, the website, the title of the website is Holy Land Unveiled. Just plug that in. It'll bring up the website, and you can find on there the book, which is The Holy Land Unveiled. It's not, I don't have any publisher anymore, but you can download it as an e-book. I also have an addendum or whatever to that called Go to Gaza, and also photos, a lot of photos with captions, more information, and these audio files where I go into some of the history and a lot more detail into what's going on in Gaza and has gone on and just how awful it is. Just really how horrendous that situation. It's like Mad Max. I mean, that's how I wound up ending it out, my audio file, because it's out of a movie. It's just, it's not real, but it is. And that's scary.
Well, the great hero of our time should not be forgotten in this conversation. Rachel Corrie needs to be remembered every time I do a show on that region. That girl stood up against these awful, vile, sick criminals. Lost her life doing it, but she was courageous. And you know something? People that are that courageous need to be remembered. I give my my thoughts and my greatest wishes to the heroic actions of Rachel Corrie.
Absolutely. That was a beautiful, lovely, and incredible little girl. And along with, we'd like to remember James Miller.
James Miller, yep.
Shot in the head, filming the atrocities in Gaza, and Tom Herndell. Waving a white flag when he was targeted and shot by the Israelis. And many others, many others. Right now, people over there, international, really decent, good-hearted people are in there, on the ground, standing up to these people.
Well, this is the end of our show, Jennifer. We've reached the end of the hour. I'm glad we had a good enough connection on the phone here to continue our conversation. It was okay. I could hear you all right, and I hope the listeners could as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, next week's show is going to be on another provocative subject, but in the meantime, and if you want to listen to other broadcasts that I have done or new ones that I'm doing, you can hear them on IamTheWitness.com. You can download them in MP3 format, or you can read the articles that are all over that website. Dozens of books, articles, interesting things that you can read. So please, become a hero to the people around you and to the truth, and do your own fighting on behalf of the world's on the behalf of humanity. We need to fight together. We need to come together. And it doesn't matter if you're Christian or Muslim or any race or sect. If you are against evil and against criminals, you need to come together as one and fight these people today. Please. And until the next time, watch out for your families. Watch out and take care of them. Love them. Show them you're interested in their lives. Protect them with purchases of food. And if you have the money and the wherewithal and the legal right, buy a gun. If not, buy bows and arrows, whatever you can get, because bad times are coming for many societies, and we need to protect ourselves from these criminals. Until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, This is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please, be well. Bye-bye now.